Parshas Emor, and Emor can be divided probably in about three sections, maybe four. The first one is related, many things related to the Kohanim, about what kind of Kohen is fit to serve, some rules related to Kohanim, what kind of Kohen is fit to serve in the Mikdash. Not being fit to serve does not mean it's not a Kohen, it just means it doesn't serve in the Mikdash, can still get Matnas Kohuna, can still do a Pidyon HaBen, can still give Birchas Kohuna, etc. We'll see a little bit on it. Aruch Haim doesn't go into great detail about you know, why a Kohen with a mum becomes, you know, unfit to serve, disqualified. But he touches on it a little bit. Then it goes into what animals can serve as a korban, which is the I guess that's part the second part of the parsha, which is kind of related, right? If a Kohen without a mum, a Kohen with a mum is unfit to serve, an animal with a mum is unfit to be served as a korban. Part three is Moed Hashem Asher Tikro Samei Mekrei Kodesh. It's the Kriyas HaTorah that we're used to calling Shor O Chesev, even though Shor O Chesev doesn't really have to do with the Moedim, but the Moedim are what we read on Sunday on Tovim. And then the last part of the parsha is just a small piece of a narrative, which we're not going to touch upon, and that's the story of the Megadef, the Mekalil, the person who curses God. And what happens as a result? There is a small little interlude between the Moedim and the Megadef, in which a couple things about the menorah and about the bread on the shulchan are touched upon. And that idea, by the way, about the menorah, Yichuilach Hashem and Zayzach Asislam Orla Alos Ner Tamid, appears in a couple other places in the Torah. It appears in Parshat Baloscha. It appears in Titzaveh, I believe. Yichuilach Hashem and Zayzach, right? Asislam Orla. It's part of the beginning of Parshat Titzaveh, right before the big day Kuna are instructed. And it's just interesting to compare the way each of those are presented in the Torah. I once gave a sermon about it, so I'm not going to do that here. But anyway, so that's the overview of the topics which are addressed in the parsha. So we're going to look at a couple of things again, as usual, from the perspective of the Or HaChaim. And I will also note some things which he touched a lot upon, which I just by necessity had to skip. But I just wanted you to know that he didn't have to skip it. Okay, so we begin with the very beginning, first pasuk, page 672. Yomar Hashem Moshe, Emor al Kohanim bnei Aaron, v'yomar talihem lenefesh la'itamah be'amav. Okay, Hashem says to Moshe, say to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, and you will say to them, lenefesh, that they should not become tameh to other people. Okay, you know, and then the Torah goes on to describe that they can become tameh to their zayin krovim. It actually only mentions six of them; it doesn't mention the wife. And there's a machlokas regarding the sister, lachosoha besula, right? Does that mean that he's not allowed to become tamei to his married sister, right? We're not going to get into that detail. Now what I want to do is ask you, and this is I'm just going to frame the Or HaChaim's commentary, is if you had to write this opening pasuk of the parsha based on everything you know about how the Torah language works and how the biblical Hebrew, let's say, works. Would you write it this way? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe emor el hakohanim bnei Aaron v'yomar ta'alehem lenefesh lo yitamah be'amav. Okay, right. So first of all, would it say vayomer or vayidaber?
Right.
Okay. Would it say emor or daber?
Right.
Okay. Would you say bnei Aaron hakohanim or would you say hakohanim bnei Aaron? Okay, I mean, that one, you know, in most cases, it actually says B'nai Aaron HaKohanim.
Right.
Okay, so that's another one.
And also about Martha's.
And V'ya Martha Aleihem, like, what's that, right? You know, you already said, Emor El HaKohanim. So, I mean, we've seen in the past about how Emor El HaKohanim, B'nai Aaron, that one interpretation is that, like, say to them and remind them that you are B'nai Aaron. Okay, that's the, and then V'ya Martha Aleihem, and another thing you should say to them is, L'nefesh L'yitim HaBe'amok. Okay, and that's, you know, there are homiletics on that. I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, so that those are essentially the questions, the red flags, let's say, that the Or HaChaim raises in trying to understand what we are to take from this pasuk. Okay, now just want to let you know that I, in my infinite methodology, cut out about. let's say two-thirds of what the Or HaChaim says in this pasuk. So I only gave you maybe a third of it. Okay? So first we're going to look at those grammatical things, or whatever, you know, language choices, and then we'll look at one more thing. Okay, so first paragraph. Tzarech l'daz, lama shina miseder haragil lomar b'chol ha-Torah, daber, el, right? Why did it change from the regular format of saying daber? Why did it say emor? Od lama ekdim ha-Torah l'matuar, sheitzarech lomar b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim. Okay, I mean, I kind of intimated these things are going to be happening. Why does it say ha-Kohanim b'nei Aaron? V'drasha shedarshu chazal, v'mkamon omdim, agam shedaber b'seder ha-zeh. So you want to look at what chazal say? Go for it. V'yisbar al darach zeh ma'asha amru zal tanchuma kan. See, the one that she brings down is the Tanchuma says, "V'zel shanam Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Ein Noel liyotze v'nichnas lefanai listakel b'meis." Okay, somebody who is going in, going out, you know, of the Mishkan all the time, should not be exposed to dead bodies, human dead bodies, obviously animal dead bodies. That's part of the service, but human dead bodies. Okay. So what happens as a result is that they would become tummy.
It's not proper. He's saying it's
correct.
Not proper.
Ain, what's right? Ain noe.
Okay.
The yotze. Now is he saying for God or is it for the person? It sounds like it's
like
for the person, right? For the individual,
yeah.
Right? Vuhomro and more lashon mala. Okay. So daber. What have we seen many times? Daber is lashon kasha. What's emor? Lashon rach. Lashon mala. So in other words, the way that you have to relate, the way that you have to instruct the Kohanim is with Amira. Emor al Kohanim, Viyamarta alehem. Okay, that's the way you have to communicate with them because they need to be elevated. And part of the elevating is by telling them, you guys are Kohanim. You guys are Kohanim. You have to live a Kohanim. You have to live a life of a Kohanim. You have to basically, you know, part of training is a mind game. Yes, I can teach you how to do things, but you need to fill a role. How do you fill a role? You know, I mean, at this conference I was just at, so there's a lot of talk from all these rabbis. It says, you know, how do we play this role, right? And the answer is, don't forget that you're a guy, but also understand that you have a position, and that position is, I mean, it's more complicated than that. But the point is that sometimes it's about training the mind as well to recognize what role you have to fill. I'm trying to remember who it was. Somebody recently who, mm-hmm. It was like some big speaker, wasn't that? Not a rabbi, but I'm reading a book about Jack Benny. Okay, that's what I was.
Comedian?
So Jack, yeah, the comedian, Al Vachon. So Jack Benny, Benny Kubelski, Al Vachon. Anyway.
That's his name? That's his real name?
Yeah, Benny Kubelski. So actually when he first started performing, his performance name was Ben K. Benny. Ben K. Benny, because that's what everybody, his friends knew him as Benny, Benjamin. Anyway, so what happened was he changed his name to Jack Benny, and at the early part of his life, when he would do that, every time he saw Jack Benny like on a marquee, he thought he was like an imposter, because he was playing a role, like it wasn't him, like I'm Benjamin Kubelski, you know, I'm not Jack Benny. So, you know, anyway, this is just but you have to tell, like, you tell yourself over and over again, he became Jack Benny, so there you go. Right, so that's why Kohanim comes first. And more El Kohanim, you guys are Kohanim. Like, you know you're Bnei Aaron. Right? Nobody's saying that they don't know that they're Bnei Aaron. They know that. But what they need to get with the program, guys, you are Kohanim. So that has to come first. You're Mishar Se Bnei Melech. You're the ones who serve the face of God. And what's their mala? Why the amira? Why speaking with them with aleph memreish? Shedlo yitamul nefesh adam. Because part of a mala, part of a higher level that you attain is because you don't become tummy. Kamam ramzal shein no liotzev nichnas. Right, like that midrash says that he quoted from the Tanchum. Mitamze hiktem atorah lematuar masmicha mala letzera yosem koanim. So their title came first. Right, normally, not here. Emor al Kohanim. You need to know who you are. Tzara Yosem Kohanim. Mashaloi Nishma Kain. Imoya Omer. Emor al Bnei Aaron. They wouldn't hear that they're Kohanim if it said Emor al Bnei Aaron. Tell the sons of Aaron. All right, so it's Uncle Moshe. He's telling us something. No, what you have to tell him is Emor el HaKohanim. Bnei Aaron. It's an important piece of training.
That's good.
Okay, now a little later on. So I mean, it's the next thing which I gave you. So, but there is one piece of information I wanted to give you in between. And so he compares some of this stuff to a nazir, And some of the rules regarding viru sa'ar al kol b'saram, right? You have to raise a razor over the kohanim. And essentially, what he says is that there's a difference in terms of the way that there isn't a sa'ar, right? A saf ayin resh on the kohanim. That's on the levim when they become levim. But no one raises the razor on the kohanim. But the point that he makes, though, is that when it comes to certain aspects of people's avodas Hashem, and he uses the nazir as an example, there's a responsibility for others. Okay, in other words, the nazir, for example, has a responsibility, let's say, not to drink wine, right, not to cut his hair. But it's also a responsibility for others not to give him wine and not to cut his hair. Okay.
It's like a form of
right. Okay. So that's the Oh, did I not give you a bazaar? Hold on.
No. Starts with
it. Oh man.
Want to talk with outside?
No. Yeah, I'll have to. Okay. I skipped it. Okay. I'll tell it to you. Ubazet, he says, and I apologize to you. He says, "Navoli Ashev Digduk Akasuv Shekafal Omar Emor Beamarta." Okay, so he's addressing the question of why it says Emor Beamarta like two times. He'll touch it. Siva Hashem the Kohanim Gam LaAcherim Al Tumasam. Hashem commands the Kohanim, but also others regarding their Tuma. Kineged Kohanim Amar Emor Al Kohanim. To the Kohanim, they're told, tell the Kohanim. Ukineged Azharas Acherim Shelo Yitamu Amar Beamarta Alehem. And for everybody else, that's the instruction of Yamar Talihem. So Emor al Kohanim, that's what Emor is. The Yamar Talihem is to Am Yisrael, is basically saying. Ulai Shatebas Alehem Chazeres Yisrael Mitzvim B'chol Mitzvah. So the Alehem goes back to all of Yisrael who are commanded in all the mitzvahs. And so basically what he's saying is, then he looks at the very end of the chapter, Pasuch of Dalid, Vayidaber Moshe El Aharon Ve'El Banav. V'el kol b'nei Yisrael. That when Moshe speaks it, he says this instruction, yes, to Aaron and his sons, but also to all b'nei Yisrael. Hareisha atzibu ne'emar me'ashem gam l'Yisrael v'zei yatzdik l'cha perushenu she'azhar ba'kan gam l'Yisrael shalo yitam l'konim. Okay, so I mean, that was basically the point that I wanted to bring out to you, that the instruction here is that the b'nei Yisrael also need to be mindful of how the Kohanim, like to the standard to which the Kohanim need to live. Would you like the copy?
No.
Okay, no problem. And there's a promise if you like also. Okay? No pressure.
No pressure.
Okay, no problem.
I showered.
Okay. Okay. Odin, you're right.
Maybe not here. It could be upstairs. I hear the noise upstairs.
Okay.
That may be other people. All right, so the next paragraph is the one which I gave you. Odin Yira. Shachashakaz of Lamar Lo Yitamu Shelo Tavos Svarlut Os. Oh, I'm sorry. So the point that I was making is that it's a responsibility on Bnei Israel to honor the Kohanim and to recognize that the Kohanim. Okay, in other words, part of the Kohanim playing the role which they play is a zechus and a merit to Am Yisrael. Right? We need to see that we have a quote unquote elite. And it's an elite by chosenness, right, at the outset with Aaron and his sons, and it's elite by birth after that. And that is, so in order for us to appreciate what that means, we need to honor that. I once had somebody I know is a Kohen, his wife wanted to go to a funeral. Okay, she's allowed to go to a funeral. They had a baby who was a boy. She said, "Can I bring my baby to the funeral?" And I said, "I really think that you're not supposed to bring your son to the funeral. Right? That you have to, you know, like
even
make a stand of that." Yeah.
Even so young.
The nefesh lo yitama. So you know, and we, in other words, the point is that she also needs to see her son's going. Son's going.
Yeah, there's a thing about women who are pregnant, married to a Kohen.
Uh-huh.
It's not halacha.
Right, I don't know that that's the same thing.
Yes, I know.
Don't
yeah.
Know.
Right, okay, yeah, anyway. Okay, next.
Odin Yira.
Let's look at the next paragraph. Odin Yira, Shekha Shekhasav Lamar, Lo Yitamu Shalot Tava Asvar Lit O Shalot Hikpir Akasu Ela Al Tumas Klelo Sakonim. Okay, so what does the Pasuk say? You have to go back to the language. The Pasuk speaks in the same thing. L'nefesh Lo Yitamu Da'amav. Right? Who are you talking to? You're talking to a group, right? It's plural. So say to the Kohanim, hey, folks, Lenefesh lo yitamu, right? Or tell B'nai Yisrael, right? If Gemar Talahem means tell B'nai Yisrael, Lenefesh lo yitamu v'amav, right? The Kohanim are not supposed to become tame. Okay? You know, everyone else deals with the burial and all that stuff, but not the Kohanim. Okay, that's the instruction. So why does it say Lenefesh lo yitamu? How many Kohanim are there? There's always more than one, right? Always more than one. So Lenefesh lo yitamu, so he's drawing attention to the fact that the pasuk is written regarding the Kohen in the singular. Okay? And so he says it's a warning to the Bnei Israel. Kedavar zeh, in the middle of the second line. Kedavar zeh eino ela chuka, ve'ein lanu ela mashaba b'peirush. He says this rule is a chok, and we have what the pasuk says. A Kohen yachid, lo yakbir alav, but maybe somebody would say, but again, because I paused in the middle, remember, the first line says shalot tavo asvar litos shalot pirakasiv el al tumas klaus koin. Right, you should not come to make a mistake to think that the only thing that the pasuk cared, that the Torah cared about, was that in general or as a klal, that altogether the Quranim shouldn't become tameh, and that it's not applied to the individual. Aval koin yachid lo yakbir alav, but that the individual koin wouldn't be compared tamal lamar. So that even the individual Kohen should know and recognize you're Kohen. You don't become Tamei, unless it's to, you know, the exceptions. Because God also instructed the Kohanim the rules regarding wine and other alcoholic beverages not to drink, right? Remember, that's after after Nadav and Abihu die. We're given instructions about how Kohanim are not supposed to come into the Mikdash, having had right under the influence of alcohol. Okay, and the reason that the Torah gave is that they should not come to serve while they have been drinking. But if that's the case, then when they're not working, then they are allowed to, and of course they are allowed to. V'im kein tavo asvara shilmod sasum emefurash ladun b'tam iser tuma shehu me'atam atzmo shenesra shtiyas yayin v'shechar nesra tuma k'de shi aroi l'avoda. Okay, so that he said, what might a person come to think? You might say, they can drink wine when right before they're coming to serve, because they're coming to serve, and so they can't be drunk at that time. But otherwise, they can. Right, a kohen is allowed to make kiddush and shabbos. A kohen is allowed to drink wine. It's fine. He's allowed to get drunk. I mean, novel brishas haTorah notwithstanding, but he may, just not when he's about to serve. So you may say, look, tuma, what's the big deal? You know, I become tamei, and then I go through the process, paraduma, yada yada, and I become tahor. So who cares? As long as I'm not tamei when I'm serving, I understand that. He says, no, this is above and beyond. Okay.
So how is tuma mafurash? How's it getting something closed off from something that's explained? What's he saying over here? Shilom lo disatuma mafurash.
No, he says that what imtein tavoa svara, right? They might make a comparison to yain, right? In other words, that there it's given a reason that they can't drink, because you may come to serve when you're drunk, so you can't become tummy. You may come to think that, you know, that it's the same reason, right? Tummy is a tuma, right? Same thing. Kohen can't serve when he's drunk, and Kohen can't serve when he's tummy. Okay, k'deshi roi l'avod lezen eschakim Hashem. And so God was smart, right? Thank you. We need to say God's smart. But in other words, the point is that God was one step ahead. So God spoke in an individual saying, lo yitama, meaning ever. That even one coin, he's violating if he becomes tamei. He says it's not because the avoda is going to be nullified. Right? If one coin doesn't show up, guess what? No, we'll manage. Right? He sounds like a real gushnik. Chefza gavra, okay? Real brisker. Chovas gavra is an obligation on the individual coin at all times. Even a guy who's shmira, who's mishmar, whatever, is way, 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 way. Time, months, Avapikein hubi isrze. He still can't become tame. Umitama amar b'divrayhem zal v'chasavuna l'mala. Okay, I mean, again, it's because you're kohen. You're kohen. You have to. You're the elite, and in your eliteness, and again, it's an instruction to the kohanim, but it's also an instruction to Am Yisrael to recognize who is our elite and what that means. Okay. And that's why we get a pasuk, right? What's pasuk chas? B'kiddush tov. You have to sanctify him. Ki yislechem elohechem hum akriv. Okay, he offers the food of your God. Kadosh yelach. He kadosh ani Hashem kadoshchem. The kohen is kadosh. He has to be kadosh in your eyes. V'lo amar b'kiddush tov. Again, it's the singular. B'kiddush tov. You have to be mekadesh him, the individual kohen. The Orach Chaim says. Like other things which are written in the plural. Okay? So he says that, what does it mean, V'kiddush tov? And the V'kiddush tov comes after the instructions about who's allowed to marry and who's not allowed to marry. So we have to say, now, you know, this is always a big question. What's the big deal? You know, with a woman who's divorced, she's not Kodesh. I mean, she's not worthy for Kohen. Why is that? So I've thought about it. I've written some things about it. I've even spoken about it in the shul. So it's a larger conversation. But essentially, what it is, you know, and again, I mean, not again. I didn't say this yet. People get divorced for all kinds of reasons. We know that. I'm sure sometimes it's the woman's fault, and sometimes it's not the woman's fault, and sometimes she was in a mistaken marriage. So, you know, what do you say about that? So that takes away from her Kedusha, or Kedusha Sisrael? So no, it doesn't take away from her Kedusha Sisrael, but it takes away from her ability to marry a Kohen. Why? Because Kadosh Hu Le'elohav. And so it's not something, because I could ask the same question. Why can't a Kohen come to me? What's the big deal? Right? It's a chok. It's what God said. God has his reasons. It's a status. I have a, you know, one of my havaminas is that, and this is just it's a flaw in human nature, right? And certainly a flaw in Bnei Israel, because we have rules about Lashon Hara. But I think that people are more prone to speak about people who were divorced than they were to speak about people who were widowed. I think that's just the case. And the Kohen Gadol is different. And why do people speak about it? Because it's interesting, right? I mean, it's, right? Oh, why? Why? And so I that's my thought. I don't know that it's accurate, but I think that's you know, maybe a reason. But that doesn't answer for V'kiddush tov, right? It's not, again, I don't want to knock the woman down. I don't think that's fair, but it's something to do with his kedusha. And we've actually seen stuff in the past about this, so I don't remember. We have to go back to the old recording, if there is a recording. Anyway. So Azara Zubash im Kohen lo ratz l'garish yishazon avachalal malchus, right? So it's a warning that if the Kohen does not want to divorce this woman that he has taken, that he's not allowed to take, that we have to give him malchus and cause him to suffer until he grants the divorce. He has to end that marriage. The pasuk says that he's eating lechem elohecha, the bread of your God. Tavo asvar lamar ki kol od sheyesh kohanim shlemim. So he says, you may come to think that, hey, you know what? There's other Kohanim who could bring Lechem Elokecha. So what's the big deal? So there's no obligation to enforce them. Again, it's a status. It's a status that the Kohen has to honor. Okay? I don't want to say more. Okay. Kadosh Yelach. Okay, Kadosh Yelach, Perish Kadesh Yeh Kadosh, Yelach HaKohen, Perish Hinehu Shalcha L'Kofo Al Adavar, right, Kadosh Yelach, in other words, for the Am Yisrael, and I guess that's the main point that I wanted to bring out of this one, that he's saying that Am Yisrael, it's a merit to Am Yisrael that he lives up to this level of Kedusha that God has given to him. Kadosh Yelach, you have the responsibility, Am Yisrael. I mean, listen, does it happen? Of course it happens. I'm sure every one of us at some point in time has encountered a Kohen who has, you know, had to do what he had to do. Right? I know a Kohen who married a Gioris. Okay, lovely people. the Kohanim, the children from first marriage are Kohanim, children from second marriage, not Kohanim.
Hello.
Okay.
Do they fall into that category?
Yeah, I mean, they're just Yisrael. Just Yisrael. And so, you know, what does that mean? It means that a person made a choice, okay, to do that. So, but he's saying that the job of Am Yisrael is to say, Kadosh Yalach. You have to, as much as possible, and there comes a point in time when it's not possible anymore, but as much as possible to say, hey, you're a Kohen. We ask of you to follow the rules that God gave us, which are in the Torah. I mean, I think when the person goes ahead anyway and says I don't care and finds somebody to marry them or wherever they do it, so you know, I think it's a little, you know, we're beyond the point of you know, we're at the point of no return. I think that's essentially what has been decided. Okay, all right. So now we move on. The next passage we're going to be looking at is a little bit about this mumf. I mentioned at the outset that one of the questions which we have is, you know, how do you take a Kohen who has a mumf, and isn't that something which is God-given? You know, he didn't make himself this way. So there's a distinction which can be made, certainly, between what's called a mumf over and a mumf which is permanent. So, for example, a Kohen who has a broken arm, okay, that's a mum over. So while he has a broken arm, and he wouldn't even argue with you. He's like, okay, I can't do the avodah, I have a broken arm. Okay? But once that goes away, he's allowed to serve again once he's healed. Okay, but some of the things which are described here are a permanent mum. Right? There's a blemish in the person's body. You know, what's the person supposed to do? So why does the Torah go this route? Take a look at the Aruch Chaim. Okay, and if you want to just look at the pasuk, "Daber al Aaron lemor ish mizarach al deros Amram," page 674, pasuk Zayin. Okay, it's the second pasuk in Sheni. "Daber al Aaron lemor ish mizarach al deros Amram sheri yabamum lo yikrav lakriv lechem alohav." And any of your of the descendants in generations who has a blemish cannot come close to bring the food of his God, to offer the food of his God. And then it goes on to give a number of examples of what kind of mum we're talking about. Daber al Aaron lemor, bottom of page 1 in the Aruch Chaim. Amar, what is it?
Amar lemor.
Daber al Aaron lemor. Daber al Moshe lemor. Daber al Aaron lemor. So he told the Aaron to say it. Letzad shem mitzvah ba'al Aaron. It's Aaron's job to tell this over. Kamro daber al Aaron sheiti lelav lahafrish ba'al mumin me'akonim lios shu kohen gadol. It became Aaron's job to determine, basically, since you're the kohen gadol, right? You have, right? It's like the vice president is the head of the Senate. So if there's an even vote, the vice president casts the tie-breaking vote. Okay? So you're the Kohen Gadol. You're the end decider. Zem Marley Morsh, as here Gamkin. Call Kohen. Shiyom Marley Mitzvah. Right? Aaron, you're the one who has to tell the other Kohanim about this mitzvah. And so this way the Kohanim are warned about themselves. Kohen Gadol Gamkin. Mutal Laval Nigash Ish Balmum. So basically it's an internal monitoring system. Again, I said it's a very tip of the iceberg. It doesn't really go into detail, but that it becomes a personal monitoring system that the Kohanim need to carry for themselves. Okay,
yep.
And you know, kedarko bakodesh, just to follow along with the theme which he said before. Remember, pasuk chaf aleph, kol ish asher bo mum yizer aron akoyin lo yigash lagriv yishei hashem mum bo. So that's not being told to Aaron. Aaron has already told that. So look at what Aaron Chaim says. Exactly. I said it's kishitaso, basically. But this instruction is given to Am Yisrael to also make sure that this is, that we have to be the auditors. Now again, there has to be a sensitivity in order. I mean, you know, you come to the mikdash, and you find a person that, you know, you raise an eyebrow, saying, "Whoa, is this person a baal mum?" So you don't say, "Hey, you're a baal mum. How are you?" You know, you don't do that. But it needs to be. If there's a question, it needs to be raised and discussed. And then it needs to be raised and discussed. But again, it, I have to go back to the same point that I made at the outset, which is that we can't disregard, you know, the human element. We need to understand this is a chok. This comes from God, and the reason is because there's an elite, and God is trying to create a certain kind of image. So why does God make people with a mum? Okay. Go talk to Harold Kushner. You know, why do bad things happen to good people? Okay. I mean, I can't answer that question. Yeah. I can't answer that question. Not even gonna try. Okay. The next part, which I gave in italics basically means that it's your homework. Okay. But I'm gonna just point a couple things out to you, in it, so that you see why I share this with you. Wait, did I not give you Zion?
No,
I did. I'm on the bottom of page one. I did. Yeah, no, I did. I'm good. Okay. All right. So if you look here, so this is in a very, very many lengthy pages and pages that the Or Chaim has. So I mentioned that he had pages and pages on the Esaviv Esimo, like who is he allowed to become Tamei. And now here in Pasuk Yibayz, he talks about, the Pasuk says, I went back. Uvas kohen ki siel ishzar, he bisrumas kodeshim lo sochel. Okay, so it gives us a few important instructions regarding a bas kohen and what happens when she kind of falls out of the family, not for a bad reason, but she just married somebody who's a non kohen. So what the Or Chaim does here is if you just look through look at the first line, towards the end of the line, where he talks about how there are four kinuyim. Okay, and what are the four kinuyim? A kinuy is, in English we would say, is like a nickname. But different ways in which the bechinos hachiyuni, in other words, what does it mean to have, what makes a body live? Hachiyuni sheba adam. So if you look in the next line, you see the first word is nefesh, then three words later, ruach. He says v'yeshikra, ruach. Then the next one is neshama. Next one is chaya. And then he talks about how the ruach hachaya is in the ofanim. And the next thing he says is called a neshama l'neshama. Now that's a theme which he brings up over and over again. If you look down in the third to last line, in the middle of the line, you'll see nefesh. Look immediately below that, you'll see it says v'tikra ruach. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of that line, you'll see neshama. Mm-hmm. And you look at the very end of the next line, it says neshama l'neshama. Okay, now I'm going to tell you that. You know, obviously, I mean, I know how to translate these words, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya. But once he starts getting to neshama, l'neshama, I don't know what he's talking about. He mentions these things again. Look in the third to last line, of the next paragraph. Inei Adon Hashem Tzvakos. Okay, if you look, you see how he talks about there in the beginning of the line, fourth word, hanefesh, kamochein haruach, bein hanefesh haneshama, nefesh, erach haneshama, etc. And then on the last line, he says, hanefesh yecholo amod vada, you have a nefesh, haruach bebeiz, haneshama begimel, neshama l'neshama b'dal. Okay? Now that, what happened to Chaya? I'm not really sure, because he kind of mentioned that in the first paragraph. Okay, in the next paragraph, he goes back to that same thing, and how many paragraphs did I skip in between? One, two, three, four, and then he gets back to this again, where he talks about these ideas again. Because I didn't want to go into it. I just wanted to draw it to your attention because and why he's talking about it in the context of the Bas Kohen Kisi Elizar, I don't remember. Okay. But again, I just wanted to draw it to your attention. On Pasuk Gimel, which I did not give you, he talks about Bas Kohen Kisi Amona Medaber Hakasav Bechinas Neshama LeNeshama. Okay, so you know it's a theme which he raises. Okay, so the last couple things which I gave you relate specifically to this time period. One is about Moedei Hashem, and the next one is about Sfiras Omer. So that's why I gave you what we have left. So we'll hopefully get through everything on page three, and then we'll call it a day. Okay, the first one. So we're familiar with this pasuk because remember, as I said at the outset, Shor Ochetz of Oez, the Perek Chav Gimel begins the Rebbe Yisrael Martaliem. These are the Moadim of Hashem. Okay, so when we say Moadei Hashem, what do we assume is in there? Moadei Hashem, Hashem's
festivals.
Right, the festivals. Yeah. What's the first thing which is mentioned?
Sheishes yemim teyasem
lacha v'yamashi
shabbos av
shabbos. So what is it? It's a Shabbos. It's mentioned Moadei Hashem. So what does that mean? Elohim Moadei. Okay, so take a look. I thought this is a really cool insight. Moadei Hashem. Zeres hadibur. Razal Amru, Kiyu Asher Tikru Osam, Asher Tikru Osam. Okay, that the holidays, the festivals, as you said, are the things that you will call them. Perush Kimoadei Hashem Heim Bizman Shikru Osam Yisrael. And we know this from HaChodesh HaZelachem, right? We set the calendar, we determine, we decide. Mitzarachon asks, Lama Chazar Lamar, Elohim Moadoy, where does Hashem say that they're my Moadim when you already said Moadim Hashem? Why is he mentioning Shabbos? Shabbos is not a Moed, Shabbos is Shabbos. Ve'od ro'a ani, she'chazal lamar pam sheni, achar mitzvahs ha-shabbos, e'le mo'ade Hashem. Okay? Right, it says, e'le mo'ade Hashem, or mo'ade Hashem, b'shir t'grosim, e'le he'mo'adai, and then Pasuk Dalet, after mentioning Shabbos, e'le mo'ade Hashem. Hold on, is Shabbos a mo'ade of Hashem, or is it not a mo'ade of Hashem? I mean, you clearly, it was included, and then you say, e'le mo'ade Hashem again. So the first thing that the Torah is telling us is that the main point you should know about the Moadim is that they are dependent on the Zmanim, Asher Yikru Osa, that Bnei Israel will call it. Okay, again, you know, we may come to say, all the Moadim, you decide. So what is that going to do? So the pasuk is cognizant that people are going to make a mistake and say shebichlal zeh gam ken kedushas yom haShabbos. Im yaskimu ledachoso miyom leyom acher yiskanei shapiyim. You know what? We have too much to do this week, so Shabbos is now going to be this week. We're going to add another day in the week, and then Shabbos is going to be on Sunday. Okay, and then we'll just start it all over again the next week. Right. He says no. It's don't get that impression. Sheishes yamim taba, right? So I'm going to tell you about Moadim, but first of all, I need you to understand that Sheishes Yamim Tavod is not Moadoi. Okay, what does it mean? Perish Elahim Shabbosos Heim Moadei Moadim Shekava Bore Ve'Einam Begeder Ishtanos. That is a set time. Moed means a time, right? That's a set time, and that cannot change. V'chaz Lamar Elam Moadei Hashem Nikroi Kodesh Asher Hir Sheis Yeschem. Right, everything else that I'm talking about are things that I gave you permission. Shetigro samatem, that you can call them at the right time. Bachodesh Rishon, Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, Elu, and Kedushas Hem LLP Israel. Those Kedushas, you guys determine Rosh Chodesh. That's so you determine when those dates will be. But Shabbos, don't mess with Shabbos. Okay, don't mess with Shabbos. And that's, by the way, that's the difference. Elahim Moadei, Elahim Moadai. This is Moadai versus the end of the previous Asher versus Pasuk Dalet, which says Asher Tikru Osam the Moadam, that you Tikru, you are going to do it Osam. You can also read Osam Tikru Atem, Tikru Atem, that you guys are going to do it. But Shabbos is mine. Don't mess with Shabbos. Okay, next one Sfartan Lachem. So again, I'm doing Sfartan Lachem because this week is we're in the middle of Sfira, so it's good timing. Omru Lachem. So I just want to look at the pasuk as well. So you have to count for yourself 7 complete weeks. Okay, so now he's going to quote the Zohar. God commanded you count 7 weeks. They were involved in Tumas Mitzrayim. They were tummy from Egypt. And God wanted to, his Daveg, it's a fascinating word, right? Yeah, right? Wanted to essentially. Join, marry, right? Don ba kemishpat nida. So God compared them to a nida. Shadina lispor zayin nikim. Now I have a little bit of an issue with this. I don't know that zayin nikim is deoraisa. Right? I'm not really sure.
One day?
No. There are different things. But I don't know that. No, what we call the zayin nikim, there is a concept of 7 days, it'd be deoraisa. But I don't think that that's the zayin nikim. The zayin nikim was a chumrah, right, which was taken upon by the. Das Moshe, right? Das Yisrael. but still, this is homiletics. Vetziva sheyis peru, or it's kabbalistic. Vetziva sheyis peru zayin shavuos, vazu mukhsharim lechnisasam kal lechupa. So after they go through their own shivanakim, then they are ready to be like the kala, like the bride under the wedding canopy. Agam ki sham zayin yamim mechan zayin shavuos. Yeah, that's 7 days, and this is 7 weeks. It's out of flogas atuma. Vegam yosa bechlos Yisrael. Shira Tamim Deim Kichei Mishpatam. Okay, so he says it's a totally different thing when you're dealing with an actual one person, Nida versus all of Klal Yisrael. Vayin Mashparash Pasuk in the Parshas Yisrael B'Chodesh Hashlishi Letzeis V'Mamar Kasuv Kan U'Sfartem Lachem Perush. So he says on the pasuk that says you have to count. The explanation is Sibas Sfirazu Hila Sibaschem. Like the reason for this counting is for you guys. Latarashem. For your purity, she's zulas ze Tegef haya Hashem nosin lahem haTorah. That without this, would God? I mean,
so would have gotten dirty. Is that what he's saying? Then we would have gotten the Torah right away.
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure what that, actually. I'm not sure what that means.
So because we cleanse ourselves.
Yeah, let's see. Baskel Tarascham shezulas ze zulas means without this.
Without
Tegef haya Hashem nosin lahem haTorah. So I'm not sure. Is he saying that Hashem would have given them the Torah?
Yeah.
But let's see. Maybe he explains a little bit. He says, and maybe this explains why you start counting Mimacharasa Shabbos. Now we know Mimacharasa Shabbos means, right, the night after the first day of Yontif, but not from the first day of Yontif itself. Meaning not from the first day of Pesach. That the idea of Sfira. Now, by the way, that's totally against what the Ksav HaKabbalah says. Remember the Ksav HaKabbalah? That he says Tamimos is not Shleimos. Tamimos is a measure of quality.
Oh,
not quantity. He's right, saying right, it's quantity. Right. Okay.
Okay.
Right. That's the difference between Shleimos and Tamimos. But anyway, Lutzach Yom Tesobenisan Shu Yom Hashabbos Hamurkan Miksas Hayom Hayu Adayin Be'eretz Mitzrayim. So since for the 15th part of the day they were still in Egypt. Remember, they left in the morning. Right, the nighttime they were still in Egypt. So that's why they need to start counting the following night. And also that, you know, they were still in experiencing Pesach Mitzrayim, right, which is in Egypt. So we gotta basically follow what they were doing at that time. Now, did they actually count in that time? No, they weren't given a mitzvah until Sinai. So in Pesach Mitzrayim they weren't really counting, but the idea to begin counting starts after the you have to have a full day, and the first night of Pesach, you know, it gets in the way because it's a commemoration of still being in Egypt. So Zikaronki Sheshimim. So something to do with how there are 6 days of preparation into the seventh. Okay, so I don't know what it means. Vayin Mash Parashti Parshas Parashis, the pasuk Vayichal Yom Hashvii. So we have to look that up, but we don't have time to do that. Derech Remez Ramaz BeOmros Fartem Al Derech Omram Ki Neshamos Am Bnei Yisrael Heim Abachinas Haluchos. So I underline this last part because I thought this is a fascinating insight. He says the souls of Bnei Yisrael, they're like the luchos. That on account of the things which are, you know, gross for the soul, and to'eva, which is a tuma that darkens their light, amrazal haluchos shel sanpiron. Right? They would. What's this sanpiron? You usually say sapphire, right? Okay. So he says leze amar usfartem lachem. So I think that he's pulling a grammatical cheat. But the truth is that this works. You know, what's the shoresh, for example? What's the shoresh for the word to fall?
The pol?
The shoresh.
The shoresh. Pol. Pei lamed.
Nun.
Nafal.
Right, nun, okay. Pei lamed. When you say that somebody will fall, okay?
Yipol.
What happened to the nun? See, that kind of thing can happen. A nun can get dropped in certain grammatical things. Uh-huh. So I'm wondering if he's going there. L'zemar u'sfartem lachem. That you have to pull sfartem, which is really snapir. It's not pure for yourselves. Just think about what Sfira Samar is supposed to be. We talk about Sfira Samar as preparation for our Sinai. So he's saying that Sfartem Lachem doesn't mean count. It has to do with turning yourselves into Luchos again.
Wow.
Okay, so. All right, we're out of time. The last one that I gave you, he just focuses on the number seven and mentions how there's 7 days of Pesach, 7 days of Sukkot, 7 days of Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is in the seventh month, so he talks about this theme of seven. So you know you can look that on your own. Okay. Amazing.